With the popularity of digital books and online access to library resources, how do public libraries keep the community engaged and interested in visiting? Joining me in the studio to answer that question is Madison County Public Library Director Ruthie Maslin. Ruthie, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Wendy. Thanks for having me here today.
20 to 25 years ago, there was no Google. There was only the reference section at the library. How have you adjusted to the shift in what people need?
The thing that I think is the most compelling to me when I look at how public libraries are operating in our communities today is that even though there's a plethora of information out there, I mean, pretty much anything you want to get at any time, you can get it online with your device. But what's not addressed, and this is what we see a lot of use of in the library, is how to get to that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it's out there, but you have to have an internet connection. And these days you have to have a high-speed connection that will support streaming and all of those kinds of things. 25 years ago, we were talking about the digital divide of people not even having access to computers. Mm-hmm. There's still a digital divide that remains in our communities. And that is that having access to the information that's there. And so one of the big changes that we have seen over the past even just few years, as we've made our public Wi-Fi more robust, is that we are measuring usage just of Wi-Fi. This is not our public computers or anything else, in terabytes of data transferred per month. A few years ago, I didn't know what a terabyte was, right? So so now we're measuring this usage in a thing that I didn't even... wasn't even on my radar a couple of years ago. So that's how quickly things are changing.
So people at the library that come in and hook up to your Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. are downloading information in the terabyte range per month. That's what
accessing stuff, accessing streaming services, mm-hmm. downloading books, applying for jobs. I mean, I have no idea what they're all doing because we don't track that,
right, but we
do track the usage. So I think that that's an important thing. Mm-hmm. We've seen actually a decline in our public computer usage, but an increase in our use of our Wi-Fi. So that tells me that people are bringing their own devices in, mm-hmm. and using still library resources, but it's not the traditional resource. Now, people are still checking out books. So that's the next question I always get is, are people still checking out books? Mm-hmm. Just to quote our circulation statistics from fiscal year 18, our total circulation, this is all materials, was over 500,000.
Wow.
So, you know, that's still for a county of 90,000 people. That's still a lot of people checking out books, and that's an increase over the prior year. Mm-hmm. So that part, that sort of traditional role, is still going on. But the other thing that people are doing at the library is they're having meetings. In FY18, there were over 1,000 extra meetings held at our two libraries in addition to the programs that we were doing. The number of programs that we did was over 2,000. So we did over 2,000 programs for all ages, plus additional community members had over 1,000 additional meetings. Almost 80,000 people participated in our programs.
So expanding from just being a resource of information and taking that and being open to the public for people to gather together and also Wi-Fi services, that's allowing the library to become more interactive with the community as opposed to what it was 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. At the heart of what we do is still connection, right? So mm-hmm. connection to information, but now we have connection to community resources. We have connection to other people in the community, people that have like interests. Like we have a couple of groups that meet on Sunday afternoon at the library to do gaming, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So they come to the library to interact with each other with a common interest at the heart of it, you know? And so providing those spaces for that to happen is an important part of how we have changed, but also that we're changing, which is why we've built this new addition with all these meeting spaces.
And when is that new addition? When are you going to open up that new addition and that'll be available for everyone to come in?
So our grand opening is scheduled for the weekend of August 23rd and 24th. So Friday, August 23rd, we're going to do kind of the official ribbon cutting. The Richmond Chamber of Commerce is hosting that for us and helping us organize that. Mindy Goble has a lot more experience with that than I do. And we'll have some food. Catering by Ann is providing food. We'll have music. This is from 12 to 2. The Madison Dulcimers will be playing, and Ann Crabb will be playing the harp. So we'll have some nice music. We'll have some nice food, tours, you know, all the official stuff. And then on Saturday, we're going to have all the festivities. So starting at 10 a.m., we're going to have music. We're going to have the group Lafferty Pike come about 1 o'clock. And then they'll have a bluegrass instrument petting zoo for the kids. We'll have a photo booth. We'll have cake, the tours, the whole nine yards.
Friday and Saturday of August 23rd and 24th.
That's correct.
I'm talking to Library Director Ruthie Maslin of the Madison County Public Libraries. So what can we expect with this new expansion?
The excitement about the space has been growing and growing and growing in our community. And really, the community needs to have some of these larger spaces that are available to the public to use. You know, the library is largely tax supported. And so we try to offer all of our services at no cost, no additional cost to the public. Now, people in our community are paying for these services through their taxes, and I don't ever want to not acknowledge that, but there's not an additional, you know, cost to using the library resources. And so to have a space that you could have a training or a workshop or a meeting that can seat 450 people, that's our biggest room, you know, down to 12 to 15 people, that's our smallest one. Having that available, that's not a charge to you, I mean, is going to be a huge benefit to our community. And plus, it's beautiful, you know.
Has this expansion of space cut into, you know, bookshelf space?
Absolutely not. So our collection, we're maintaining that, and that's kind of in what we call the old building, the old part of the building, the existing part. All of the space that was added is meeting room space, and partially we did that. We had done a year-long strategic plan or long-range plan, the board did, with a consultant. We met with the community, we met with stakeholders, and this is a thing that came up over and over again. We need space. We need to have place for meetings. We need to have more space. And trust me, I'm already booking those spaces up.
Wow.
If anybody wants to book a space, just call the library and ask for me. We're working on new scheduling software, but in the meantime, I'm doing it. Now, it's not available for parties or things where you're selling stuff. But any kind of training, community activity, like we have a job fair scheduled for the week after the grand opening. That is on August 27th, and we'll have a resume workshop before that. We're doing that with Richmond Economic Development, and we already have several big conferences scheduled for the fall. I'm excited about the new things that we're going to be able to have that we've never had an opportunity to host at the library just because we have limited space. Things I didn't even anticipate are coming up, you know, and that's exciting to me.
Does the bookmobile still run and make its rounds?
Absolutely. So we have a bookmobile that they have, they're on a 2-week cycle and they travel throughout Madison County.
And for people who don't know what the bookmobile is, can you tell us a little bit about what the bookmobile is?
Right. So the bookmobile is a way for us to bring library services and materials further out for people that can't necessarily come to the library. And it's a really honored tradition in Kentucky. We often think back to the pack horse librarians around the turn of the century who would take books on horses into outlying areas just to make those things accessible to people. And so that's part of this tradition. Kentucky has one of the strongest bookmobile programs in the nation. We have a lot of rural areas in Kentucky as well, so it makes sense to do that. So the bookmobile is a fully stocked traveling library. So there's books for all ages, DVDs, magazines. There's even a public computer on there, and we have our own Wi-Fi hotspot. If somebody wants to get on the bookmobile when it's at a stop, they can get on there, they can get on the internet, they can check their email, they can do whatever. So it's kind of a fully functional type of
library.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What's on the horizon for libraries in general? Are they all heading, you know, kind of across the country? Are they all headed in this direction of being more community interactive in order to bring more people in?
Yeah, I think that that is an absolutely big trend in public libraries right now. There's a book that we've all been reading, and actually the author of this book came and spoke at one of our recent state library conferences, but it's called Palaces for the People, and it's by Eric Kleinenberg. And this is a book that looks at that very thing. So how do public spaces in communities impact the quality of life and the health of a community? His findings were that communities that have those kinds of well-maintained and robust public spaces fare better in times of stress in the community, whether it's an economic downturn or a natural disaster or whatever. Those communities that have that at the center point are more resilient. And so I think that that's something that resonates a lot with me and my staff. You know, that whole notion of palaces for the people is from Andrew Carnegie, who pumped millions and millions of dollars into public libraries in the United States at the early part of the 20th century. And one of his things was he wanted to create grand spaces for the common person. There are palaces for the kings and queens, but let's have palaces for the people as well. And so there's an element of that that comes into the architecture of our new library edition. When you walk through that door, there's a wow moment, right? That you're going to look up and you're going to see this expansive space and you're going to be, wow, this is here in our community. And that's something we wanted to have a little taste of so that it has a palatial feel. It doesn't mean it has a palatial, you know, cost to it, but there's a way of creating space and creating beauty that I think is important to us. So,
looking at the fiscal year numbers, do you know the numbers of other libraries throughout the state and how Madison County compares to other libraries? How are you faring compared to?
So Madison County is, population-wise, is the ninth largest county in the state. We look at everything from how many books are checked out to how many staff we have to how much we pay staff, how much we support staff with training and all of that. And then everybody is ranked throughout the state. So our benchmark is always that we want to be at least ninth in those rankings because we're ninth in terms of size. The areas that we always exceed that ninth place that we'll be up in sixth, seventh, fifth, fourth is in our program, attendance and number of programs. And so the programs for all ages and the programs for children, we always rank higher than our ninth rank in those areas. And surprisingly, one of the interesting things that we've really been focusing a lot on is resource sharing throughout the state, but also throughout the country. And that's through a program called Interlibrary Loan. With limited space, we've had to rely, you know, on the kindness of strangers, really from other libraries to share their materials with our customers here. And then we have a reciprocal thing that we share our resources with people in other states and areas.
So basically, if I come into the library and I'm looking for a book that you don't have, you can reach out to another library that does have that. They'll send it to you,
correct,
and then I'll be able to check that out.
Correct.
That's what interlibrary loan
is. Mm-hmm. And in that, we've been ranking first and second in the state.
Oh, really?
For our use of that service. Mm-hmm. And partially that's driven by, you know, just our limited space. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people talk about, are you going to increase the book collection? Well, you know, there's always a balance of space and use. And so if we can get those books in by other means, we don't have to have necessarily all those books on the shelf, because sometimes it's something that only one person wants to read. Mm-hmm. So to put our money into buying it and holding it and taking up space for something that may have a very limited interest to our local community, you know, I mean, I just think it's a great, great program. But also something that our library has really worked hard on, increasing our numbers with that. I just want to invite everybody to come and check out the library. You know, right now we're looking ahead to September, which is National Library Card Sign-Up Month. And I would really love, with this grand opening and with the new space, to really bump up our library card holders. Right now we're reaching close to 60,000 library card holders, which is a good portion of our community. I would love to see us increase 10,000 over this next year. See, there's this misconception that you have to come to the library to use your library card. And one of the things we're doing a campaign to really promote library card usage in September, you don't ever have to come to the library. If you don't ever want to come, leave your house, you don't have to do that. With your library card, you can access tons, like hundreds of thousands of online downloadable books, ebooks, e-audiobooks. There are films that are available. There are learning programs like a language learning. There are genealogy resources. All of these things you can access with your library card, and you never have to come through the door. So for those people that don't want to come to the library, I mean, I would love for people to come to the library, but also I understand people are busy. You know, I mean, sometimes that doesn't work out. So there are lots of ways to use your library card, and I would encourage everybody to get one.
And how can they find out more?
Our website is a great place to start. It's www.madisonlibrary.org, and we're revamping it right now. So it's going to be, along with our new edition, we're going to have a new website soon. That's your starting point for all of those online resources. But through that, you can also, you know, check, you can set up an account and check what books you have checked out. You can, you know, check out our calendar and see what events are coming up. I mean, we probably pretty much have some kind of event every day at the library. And, you know, from story times to coding classes, you know, meetings, whatever it is. So,
and through that account, a person can also access all the online materials.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. And so it's so easy. I'll just wrap this up. But my brother was traveling over the weekend, and he called me from the interstate, and he said, "Ruthie, I forgot how to download a book, and I want to listen to something while I'm driving." So whoever he was driving with did this, but we were on speaker. And so I was able to, within like 30 seconds, tell them how to download a book with their library card. So they got the book and they were able to listen. They shared an earbud. So they each had an earbud so they could discuss the book while they were listening to it. But that's how easy it is.
And they downloaded it to their phone.
Downloaded to their phone while, you know, while they were traveling.
Oh,
and
wow.
So that's it's very easy to use. And if you don't know how to do it, we have people that will help you.
I've been talking to Madison County Public Library Director Ruthie Maslin. Ruthie, thank you so much for being here.
Wendy, thank you so much.